This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Welcome in Mary Kay Cabot. She always has her head on straight. She joins us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hello, Mary Kay.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What the hell's going on, Mary Kay? What was with that bombshell yesterday? He's giving up play calling. What's going on? Is he going to hold on to this job past November 10th? I'm not kidding you, Mary Kay. I'm nervous.
It's a good question. You never know what can happen when a team that is supposed to contend definitely for the playoffs and maybe for the Super Bowl is now 1-6 and going nowhere this season. And the only reason why I say that is because Jimmy Haslam is not a patient man. He really believed that this team was going to go somewhere. And now look at the fine mess everyone is in. It's really quite shocking when you look at where the Cleveland Browns are right now. That was supposed to sort of be the easy part of the schedule. They haven't even gotten into the hard part. They haven't even gotten into being on Hard Knocks and having all of that play out on national television.
I forgot. Yeah. Again, December 3rd. That's right. We're just over a month away. Bing Crosby and Liev Schreiber and no. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's really sad. It's really sad, especially for Browns fans. I hate what is happening for Browns fans because they were so excited about this season, and it's really, really unfortunate. As far as the play calling is concerned, I just think I really don't know what happened with that, to be honest with you, yet. I haven't had an opportunity to really dig around and find out what the genesis of this was, but the timing is certainly curious. I called for it to happen several weeks ago to see if Ken Dorsey couldn't pull something a little bit different out of Deshaun Watson. Now, when I look back on that, I think that Kevin Stefanski might have known that the offense was such a train wreck at that point. He didn't want to throw that hot potato over to Ken Dorsey and have him take the fall for it all. So I think he hung on to that responsibility, knowing that it was almost a no-win situation with the injuries on the offensive line and the players really not assimilating the new offense very well. Deshaun Watson having his struggles, Amari Cooper not being all in on everything at every moment. So I just think that he probably felt like he had to take responsibility for it himself. And now that they know that they are not making the playoffs, he can turn it over to Ken and see what Ken has, see what Ken can do, and that will help them probably for future planning.
I guess I just don't understand why, if we're sitting here trying to figure out why did it go wrong, what is happening, why wouldn't we just go back to the formula that worked at the end of last year, which was veteran quarterback who can sling it, who will go vertical and will actually read past the first read, and then Kevin Stefanski calling the plays?
Well, they could have done that, and who knows? That's not going to happen the rest of this season. I don't know why they decided not to do that. The other part of this is, and I'm not saying that they're not super crazy motivated to win, but if you win a bunch of games this year, then you're going to take yourself out of contention for one of the best quarterbacks in this draft, and I think they're going to need one of the top quarterbacks in this draft if they feel that one is there that can help them win in a big way down the road. Again, I'm not saying that that they're doing intentionally not to win as many games as they possibly can, but I'm not entirely certain that winning is the absolute number one priority at the moment.
Well, that sounds fun to hear for everybody involved here. So does that mean the Browns could then be sellers here over the next couple of weeks? Because I don't know if I heard wrong. Were you on Baskin and Phelps? Did you say they could end up being buyers of some sort?
They could be. If you see something out there that you think can help you in future years, for sure you would go ahead and make a deal like that. They could sell some guys off, but if you find, let's say you find a young receiver who can help you over the next 3 years, then you might want to go ahead and do something like that. Or maybe you even see a quarterback out there that you think can help you. Maybe that's something. And again, I don't want what I said before to – there's no way this football team is going out and trying to lose football games. That's not what I mean. I'm just saying that they know they're not going anywhere the rest of this year, and they have to figure some things out for moving forward and how they're going to rebuild this team.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from, Mary Kay. How much then does it bother them that, you know, the Dorian Thompson-Robinson injury, what did they want to see from him from the rest of the year?
Well, he's a quarterback that they have to evaluate and see if he can be part of the plan. Can he be a good backup? Can he be somebody that presses for a starting job? So that's what they need to ascertain. And I'm telling you, they really felt good about him around 53 roster cut time. And there was a period in which if they had gotten a good offer for Jameis Winston, they would have considered it. They would have moved Dorian up to number two right away. So they always sort of viewed him in this fashion. And now, once he gets healthy, I think they'll want to take a better look at him.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us right now. It's obviously something that we touch on almost every day now because this thing has gone into a spiral, and we certainly know what has happened in the past with the Haslams and the organization. Right now, would you say Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry are safe?
I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say yes, they are safe. I think that Jimmy really does feel that he's hit upon alignment in the organization. I think he does really respect and like, obviously, Andrew and Kevin and just extended them and does not want to blow that up. I think he wants to exercise patience. But once again, sometimes things take on a life of their own when a team spirals and goes in the tank like this. And I don't know what will happen as they continue to evaluate it throughout the rest of this season and after the season. Certainly, some of the things that we're seeing on the football field are very disturbing to everyone watching it. All of the penalties and just they just look lost at time and just at times and disorganized at times. And you've got guys getting frustrated, and you want some of that passion. You want to see Jerry Jeudy getting mad and being upset that he's not getting enough targets and things like that. So you want them to still care, but there are some things going on. They had to bench Elijah Moore at the beginning of that game. It's just not the kind of football team right now that anybody can be very proud of, and hopefully for them, they can get some of that stuff turned around.
Do you believe that Deshaun Watson has taken his last snap for the Cleveland Browns?
I'm going to say the jury is still out on that one. I know that's the narrative that a lot of people want to put out there and want to believe, but when you have a cap hit of more than $72 million in each of the next 2 years, I don't think it's just that easy to say, oh, geez, he didn't play well this year. Let's just cast him aside. It's not that easy because of the economics of it all. Sure, you could cut your losses and try to move on and dig out from underneath this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Enormous cap hit and this enormous contract, but it's a little bit more complicated than that. And also, here's another thing to consider. This offense was so bad this year. The scheme didn't work. All the things that we've been talking about. Who knows if there isn't something left in the tank that just wasn't able to be seen this year because of everything going on with this offense. And if Jameis starts to look good, now we're not really going to know. Is it because Ken Dorsey is calling the plays for him and that gave the offense a bump? Why didn't Deshaun Watson get that bump? What would Deshaun Watson look if Ken Dorsey was calling the play? So it opens up a whole set of questions now about what may have happened. But I don't think that you can completely slam the door shut based on the economics alone.
Are they willing? It's October 24th. Are they willing to draft a quarterback high in the first round next year and then have Deshaun Watson be the backup?
I would never say never on anything. Even though Deshaun Watson got cheered by, and not all fans, by some fans while he was down injured, I still don't think that takes it to the point of no return. I do believe that there is a world in which he can come back here and be on this roster and either be part of challenging for the starting job or be the backup or mentor the young guy, something like that. I don't think that it's goodnight Irene yet on the whole Deshaun Watson experience.
Man, that is a tough scenario for me to envision after, I got to say, Deshaun Watson's approval rating as far as a quarterback goes in this town has to be the lowest since Johnny Manziel. Doesn't it, Ken? I mean, who's been lower? I mean, there have been bad quarterbacks, but approval rating?
There would be quarterbacks, but no, you can't really give them an approval rating because no one took them seriously.
I just don't know how they would sell excitement for the 2025 Browns with, hey, Deshaun Watson's back, and he's coming off another injury, one that who knows what that does to his feet. This is a year after, you know, the injury that did whatever to his shoulder. I just don't know how they would sell that to the fans.
Well, I'm not saying that they're going to sell him as their bona fide starting number one quarterback, but he could be part of the picture. And so I think people just need to realize that the Browns are not going to run their franchise based on what the fans want. If they did that, then Dorian Thompson-Robinson, you know, could be their starting quarterback next year or could be starting now because people thought that he was going to be the answer. Well, maybe he can be the answer, but maybe he can't be. You can't go by what the fans want. That's not how you run your organization. You have to evaluate your football team for what you see with the experts who are paid to do just that. I'm not saying he's going to be the starting quarterback. I'm just saying that people that want to completely write him off and say, we can't take this anymore. We don't want any more of this anymore. I don't know that it's completely over like that.
All right, Mary Kay, predictably, the players were not happy that one of their teammates got any reaction like that at all, considering all the emotion that was on the field that day when Watson went down the injury. And predictably after that, the fans struck back, were not happy at all that the players had anything to say, especially on a 1-6 football team. So how do we get past this? Is it just time? Does time need to move on? Because you had some significant guys. Jameis Winston's your starting quarterback. Miles Garrett, your reigning defensive player of the year. Even Nick Chubb yesterday did say that, yeah, teammates, we're not happy about this, even though he had a little more nuance to it. How do we get past this?
Well, as Nick pointed out yesterday, a victory would help. This is a passionate fan base. Everyone knows that. And I just don't know that it was as widespread as people seem to be making it out to be. I couldn't really hear it as much as obviously someone out in the stands could. Inside the press box, the cheering just wasn't as loud as it is being described now, but maybe it was. So I can't say that it wasn't. And when I did hear cheering, when I started to hear the cheering, and I was busy before then because I was trying to see what was going on with Deshaun and look at his facial expressions and watch the replay and see the calf reverberating and all of those kinds of things. But when I started to hear the cheering, it was when he was being carted off. And I thought, oh, that's good. They're cheering him out of support. And I know there was some of that. I mean, that's what happened when Chris Godwin was carted off the other night. You cheer to support the player. So I'm sure there was a mix at that moment of cheers for support and whatever else. The stuff that came before that, the players, you know, the players say that it was disgusting and horrible. And so I guess we have to take them at their word for that. I know Browns fans feel that it wasn't the whole stadium cheering for him, and so that maybe it was getting a little bit blown out of proportion. But I do think that the Browns and their fans need to somehow come back together and realize this is a horrible season. Everyone's frustrated. Everyone's upset. And this isn't going the way anybody wanted it to. And the Browns players need to understand that these fans really are some of the best in the NFL and that they can't cast aspersions on all of them for what happened on Sunday.
I think that a lot of them, I can understand in the moment, by the way, but I did feel a lot of them overreacted. I was in the stadium, and we've talked about it several times on this show, Mary Kay. That much I certainly agree with. By the way,
Ken's calling the players liars, Mary Kay.
I didn't call them. I did not say that at all. Don't say.
Owen,
don't
did you hear that?
No, I didn't. Don't do that.
That's what I heard.
I'm being serious.
That's
about
a Ken
this, damn it.
Classic.
Now stop it. Hold on. You can't just call people liars. I'm the one who's got to go in that building. When's the last time you've been in that building? So don't say I called them
liars.
I'm
allowed in that building.
You're more than welcome in that building. I saw your name on the list just the other day. All you have to do is fill out your name, and you're allowed in the building. So don't say I called them liars. I didn't call them liars. I said it was an overreaction. That's what I said. Sorry, Mary Kay. You got in the middle of that. Mike Vrabel on the sidelines. What'd you make of it?
Well, you know, you never really know. He said he wasn't going to be on the sidelines this season, but they're in dire straits right now. They need help. They need help in every area. And especially, I mean, look at special teams right now. The special teams cost them 11 points in this game, and he's very, very involved in special teams and helping Bubba Ventrone. So I think that, you know, it's all hands on deck right now. And Mike Vrabel is viewed very favorably in this organization. I don't know that it means anything for the future. I do know that the organization thinks very, very highly of him from top to bottom.
Mary Kay, thank you very much for the time. All the very best to you and yours.
Same to you guys. Thanks for having me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.